Okay, we're on Perek Mem Gimel, and this is the second capital in the second Sefer of Tehillim. And last week we discussed a little bit about the fact that the first book of Tehillim, all of the capitalach were written by David HaMelech. However, Chazal tells us there were 10 different people altogether that wrote Tehillim. Adam Arishon, Malkut Tzedek, Avraham Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, David Shlomo, Asaph, and the three sons of Korach, the B'nai Korach. And last week we saw the first capital written by the B'nai Korach. Now, the B'nai Korach, very interesting, the B'nai Korach did teshuva as the rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu was progressing. Initially, the B'nai Korach were on the side of Korach, their father, and they threw their lot in with them. But partway through the rebellion, they realized the error of their ways, and they did teshuva. So therefore, when the earth opened up and swallowed up Korach and his gang, they were caught on a ledge partway down. They did not fall all the way to Gehenna. They stayed on that ledge for a very long time before they were able to climb back out and be rescued, so to speak. While they were on that ledge is when they wrote these kapitalach. And they wrote these kapitalach with Hashem gave them Ruach HaKadosh, and they had a nevuah of Gullus and many of the things that would happen in the future to Klal Yisrael.
Didn't the earth close the mouth again, though? I thought that when the earth opened its mouth to swallow Korach, after swallowing Korach, it closed its mouth again. So if they were on a ledge in the mouth, how were they not like squished?
Not close them the way. They were able to climb back out. They were in there for a long time before they could get back out.
Okay. How many of them were there?
Three sons of Korach. Now, the Ibn Ezra actually says, and he alone says this, that the B'nai Korach means the descendants of Korach who were the first people that were chosen from the Levim to be in the choir that would sing in the Beis HaMikdash were grandsons of Shmuel HaNavi. And Shmuel HaNavi was a descendant of Korach. So therefore, the B'nai Korach, as the Ibn Ezra refers to these specific people. But most of the Mephorshim understand the B'nai Korach literally as the B'nai Korach. David HaMelech found and had handed down to him manuscripts from the B'nai Korach, and he put them into Tehillim with his own, what would you call it, editing, I guess you would call it. So David HaMelech edited the Kapitalach of the B'nai Korach, and last week we saw the first Kapitel, which talked about longing for Gullah, for the Geula, and the suffering of Klal Yisrael and Gullus. This week we have Mem Gimel, which is a very short kapitel. There's only 5 pesukim in the whole kapitel. And it's really a continuation of what we started last week. And that is that the longing of Klal Yisrael for Geula, as foretold by the B'nai Korach, while they were stuck on the ledge, having been saved from Gehenna. Now, there's a minag amongst Chassidim, with a small cha, to say tikkun chatzais in the middle of the night. Most people used to get up and they used to say tikkun chatzais in the middle of the night. And it was special tefillas they would say in the middle of the night. The first half of those tefillos, right, and the second half of those tefillos had 2 different themes. The second half of the tefillos, which are a tefila for geula, opened with mem beis and mem gimel, the 2 kapitalach that we learned last week and this week. So Chazal considered Mem Beis and Mem Gimel to be 2 of the key kapitalach that express Klal Yisrael's longing for the Geula. So let's take a look at what it says here. Pasuk Aleph. David HaMelech, remember, is not writing, so we don't have our regular Mizmor LeDavid. Pasuk Aleph says, Shafteini Elokim, avenge me, Hashem, v'riva rivi migoy lechosid, and and find favor my cause against a nation without kindness, a nation that has no kindness, may ish mirma from a man of deceit, ve'avla tefalteini, and from terrible things deliver me. So shafteini elokim, avenge me. The shorish of that is really shayfet, like the judge. Literally, it means judge me, Hashem. But we translate it as avenge. Because what we're asking Hashem to do is judge us compared to our enemies. When we're saying avenge me, we're saying shafteini, judge me, judge us, and see that we are trying to serve Hashem. Judge us and see how we compare to our oppressors. Champion my cause against a nation without kindness. A nation without kindness refers to B'nai Yishmoa. Chazal have very stark words for people like Yishmoa, who grew up among tzaddikim, like Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu, but did not follow in their ways. So it's one thing for a person to be a Rasha, or a person to grow up in an environment where they don't learn to do proper things, but to grow up in an atmosphere of tzidkis, of Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu, and then to not follow in their ways, is called a nation without kindness. Chazal say that such a thing is a terrible thing from a man of deceit, and iniquity deliver me. We see over and over again David HaMelech asking to save me from the tricky people. David HaMelech felt that people who are hypocritical and pretend to be good and pretend to be your friends or really not be, are worse than actual Rishayim. So, and he says, against the nation without kindness, the B'nai Yishmael, and to save me from the tricky people. Now, why do we have to be saved from the B'nai Yishmael, a nation without kindness, specifically? It says in Parshas, this is getting heavy. It says in Parshas B'Shalach, in Perek Tazayin, all right, Parshas Bereishis. I'm sorry, Sefer Bereishis. Where are we here? Give me just a second. Okay, it says in Bereishis, in Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Avram el Sarai, some to Sarai, Hinei shavches biyadech, asila hatuv b'nei nayich. Right? Your maidservant is in your hand, do with her as you will see fit, as in your eyes, as you see fit to do. Vata'ana Sarai, vativrach mepaneha. And Sarai dealt harshly with Hagar, and Hagar fled from Sarai. Now we all know this is a fish. That Sarah felt that Yishmael was going to be a bad influence in her household. And she dealt harshly with her, and therefore Hagar fled from her because of her harsh dealing. So the Rabban says that this was a chait on the part of Sarah. The Rabban says that Chata imanu benu ezeh, our mother sinned with this. Vagam Avraham, and also Avraham, b'nicho lasos kein, in encouraging her to do this. V'shema Hashem elinya v'nasan la'av ben shi'a paradam. And therefore Hashem heard them, and he gave them a son who was going to be a wild man. V'anos zera Avraham, in order to harass the children of Avraham, v'sara, and Sarah, v'chol minei ainui, and all the things that would come in the future. Because of the way that Sarah and Avraham treated Hagar, Hashem Dafke made her son someone who would torment the B'nai Avraham for the rest of generations. So when David HaMelech says, save me from a nation without kindness, Hashem made the B'nai Yishmael to be people who would feel no rachmanis for the B'nai Avraham. That no matter what would happen, the B'nai Yishmael would persecute and pursue B'nai Yisrael no matter what. And from people of deceit, Chazal tell us that come the end of days, come Lassid Lavo, that Hashem is going to come to the nations, and he's going to have a complaint against them of all of the things that they did wrong. And they're going to claim, you know what, we only did these things in order to help the Jews. We didn't really mean that. We only built roads so that the Jews would be able to get through Yerushalayim. And they're going to have a whole list of excuses for everything that they did. Really, they're only... Right. Those are called the Ish Mirma, the men of deceit. David HaMelech asks, in the name of the B'nai Karach, that we need to be saved and delivered from people of deceit. And people of deceit and people without kindness, we want Hashem to judge us, compare us to them, judge us favorably, and see how we compare against people without kindness and people that are tricky. He goes on to say, Kiyata Elokei Mazu, you are the God of my strength. Lama Zenachtani, why have you abandoned me? Lama Koder is Chalek Balachatz Ayi, and why in gloominess must I walk? Because my enemy is oppressing me. Now he says, you are the God of my strength. Ma'uzi. In the Chumash, we never find the O's, the strength, as a way of referring to Hashem, until after Kriyas Yamsu. When the B'nai Yisrael said Shira, they called Hashem their strength. Before then, they never called Hashem their strength. Even though all during the time that the B'nai Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, they knew of Hashem and his abilities and his great wonders, yet they never referred to him in such a way. Only after they were redeemed and had great miracles performed for them did they call Hashem a strength. David HaMelech writes, Elokei Ma'uzi, the God of my strength. I am so confident that Hashem is going to save me that I will go ahead and refer to Hashem by the term meaning he's already saved. So Elokei Ma'uzi is the God who's already saved me, but you haven't been saved yet. This is David HaMelech, but I know I will. Therefore, my complete betachan and emunah allows me to say Elokei Ma'uzi. David, we inherit from the Avos, what we inherit from the Avos is that emunah. That ability to say Elokei Ma'uzi, the Hashem who is my strength and savior, even though nothing's happened yet. So, why have you abandoned me? Why in gloom must I walk? Because of the impression? Because of the oppression of my foes? So, even when we were in Mitzrayim, the Chumash tells us that Hashem heard our suffering. But yet, the B'nai Kairach and David HaMelech here say, why do I have to, it doesn't seem like Hashem is hearing me. Even in Mitzrayim, when we had such terrible, terrible nishaynis, Hashem was listening to us. Hashem was not, now it seems like Hashem is oblivious to us. And the point David Amel is making here is applicable to every situation we find ourselves in. How many times do we find ourselves in a situation where it doesn't seem that Hashem is really paying attention? How many times in life do we have a situation where it just doesn't seem like Hashem is paying attention to this? We know he is, but I see no sign that this Taurus is ever going to end. Even in Mitzrayim, Hashem was apparently listening to them. But now, by us, it doesn't seem like he's listening to me. Why do I have to walk in gloom? So he says, Shalach orcha ve'amitcha. So dispatch your light and your truth. Heima yanchuni, and they will guide me. Yaviuni, and they will bring me to... Turn the page over. Bring me to Har Kodshecha. The El Mishkanosacha, they will bring me to your holy mountain and to your dwellings. So he says, you know, we don't want to walk in gloom. We don't want to be forgotten. So therefore, what should Hashem do? He should shalach orcha v'amitcha. He should dispatch the light and the truth. What does that mean? The light, orcha, refers to Mashiach, because the light is the light of Nevuah. A Navi is said to be able to see the light. He sees the or, he's enlightened, if you will. He sees the or, and therefore a Navi is called Orcha, your light. And your truth refers to Eliyahu HaNavi. Now, how do we know when Mashiach gets here? What's one of the ways that we know? Who's going to come before Mashiach?
Jesus.
Eliyahu HaNavi. There's a fascinating chazal, though, that says that if we're Zaycha, and if Klal Yisrael are really worthy, and Mashiach comes earlier than anticipated, then Eliyahu HaNavi comes at the same time. Only if we're not worthy does Eliyahu HaNavi have to come first to pronounce, hey, guess what, everybody? Line up to the left. Mashiach is on the way. But if we don't need that, because we're holding on a madrega where we're ready for Mashiach, then Mashiach and Eliyahu HaNavi just come. So says David HaMelech, Shalach Orcha V'Amitecha, send your light and your truth together. Lift the gloom from me. Don't make it seem like nobody cares about me. Send Orcha V'Amitecha, send Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach now. They'll guide me and they'll bring me to your holy mountain and to the Mishkanai Secha, right? To Har Sinai and to your dwellings, and we'll continue on with this. Ve'avoa, that I might come, El Mizbach Elokim, to the altar of Hashem, El Keil Simchas Gili, to Hashem, the gladness of my joy that I feel, Ve'aydecha Bechinar, and I will praise you on the harp, Elokim Elokai, Hashem my God. So I'll come to the altar of Hashem. Now what does the altar of Hashem mean? So, simply it might mean that once the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, there'll be a Mizbeach upon which we'll bring Karbanos. So we'll call that the altar of Hashem. The Mizbeach of Hashem. But the Al-Sheikh points out that you really don't see that term used. You don't see in the Rambam, Hilchos Karbanos, him saying, and you bring it to the Mizbeach Hashem. That's not really usually called the altar of Hashem, the Mizbeach of Hashem. So he says, you know why it's called that in this Pasuk? Because who built the first Beis HaMikdash? We. Who built the second Beis HaMikdash? We. Who's going to build the third Beis HaMikdash? Hashem. So it's the Mizbeach Elokim. I want to come to the Mizbeach of Hashem that he built himself. Right? In fact, how exactly is the third Beis HaMikdash going to be built? Which one? The third Beis HaMikdash. The question is, who's going to build the third Beis HaMikdash? So, it would seem to be, from Rashi says clearly, that the third Beis HaMikdash is going to come down from Shemayim. It's going to come down, wholly built and constructed, and land plop in the right place. It might not make plop, but we'll... However, the Rambam seems to say that one of the ways we know that Mashiach is Mashiach, is he builds the Beis HaMikdash. That would seem to be building. Taking the bricks, putting them together. So we're davening for this altar of Hashem. We're davening for the altar of Hashem. We're going to be over there schlepping the bricks and slapping them together. Then we should be davening for good workmen to come and help. Okay? Contractors who don't disappear every day. You know? So we want to Mizbeach Hashem with contractors that will actually come back when they say they will. Right, so Mizbeach Hashem is what it says magic. The Rabbi says, oh, Mashiach will come and he'll build it. So one way that they reconcile these two things is that there's a difference between making a building and making a Beis HaMikdash. Mashiach will show that he's Mashiach by starting the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, but the final completion and the Kiddush of the Beis HaMikdash will come down from Shemayim. The truth is that the vast majority of Meforshim hold like Rashi, that the Beis HaMikdash is going to come down from Shemayim, completely built and ready to go. And I think that's really what the B'nai Korach are referring to here, is that they want to come to the altar of Hashem. You know, we've had Beis HaMikdash, we've had Mizbeach, and it was Givaldik, and in the end it was destroyed. He says, you know, I want to come to your holy mountain, but that's not all I want to do. I want to come to the Mizbeach Hashem, so that it's going to be your Mizbeach. And then I'll show my Simcha, my Gila. Now, we've talked before that Simcha and Gila are two different kinds of things. Gila is a joy sort of an inner joy that a person feels at a wonderful event. A simcha is like an external happiness. So we don't say, oh boy, the family made a big gila. We say the family made a simcha. Right? Because a gila would mean everyone sitting around sort of feeling inner joy, which wouldn't really be too much fun for the guests. So therefore, a simcha, so he says we're going to have both simcha and gila. Simcha you can have without gila. You can go to a chasana and dance around and be worried about the fact that you have an early meeting tomorrow morning. So you have simcha, but you don't really have gila. And you can have gila without simcha. He says, you know what? I want the Mizbach Hashem. And when Hashem builds the Mizbeach, and Hashem builds the Beis HaMikdash, then I'll have Simcha and Gila, all together. The Eidecha, the Kinor, will be able to play on the harp, Elokim Elokai, Hashem my God. And then, he says, Hashem will be...
What did you say was the difference between Simcha and Gila?
Simcha is an external manifestation, like I'm happy, I'm dancing around the Simcha. Gila is more of an inner joy that one feels at something having happened.
Yeah, the way I heard it was that Simcha was like physical and Gila was more spiritual.
Yeah, it's true. I think it's sort of oversimplified, though, because they both are really spiritual. But Simchas tend to be manifest itself, or as you would, someone dancing around in a circle is not exhibiting gila, they're exhibiting simcha. But theoretically, they're dancing around in a circle because of a spiritual reason. Gila, when a parent watches a bar mitzvah boy give his bar mitzvah peshetel, and they are glowing inside from this bar mitzvah bacher, that's gila.
Nachas.
Right? It could be nachas. I mean, it could be gila is when, you know, I'm sitting in my sukkah, and I feel connected to Hashem that I'm sitting outside and doing a mitzvah of sukkah. So, and then Elokim Elokai, finally, after all that happens, then Hashem will be my God. Then I can really internalize and feel like Hashem is my God. So in one pasuk here, David HaMelech is putting together all of the things that we want in Gullus, they want to end Gullus with. We want to come to the Mizbach Hashem. We want to come to the altar that Hashem builds that will never be destroyed. And we want to be able to feel both Simcha and Gila. And we want to be able to praise Hashem from all this Simcha and Gila and feel that Hashem is Elokai. That now Hashem is my God. So this is David HaMelech. That's what I want. I don't want to walk around feeling like Hashem has forgotten us. I want to come and I want the Mizbeach of Hashem that's never going to be destroyed. And when I see that, then I'm going to be Besimcha and I'm going to be Begila and I'll be singing on my kinor and then I'll truly be able to feel that Hashem is Elokai. That's what the summary of the last kapitel and this kapitel really is in this pasuk. This pasuk is like all the things we want wrapped up into one. You know, we say this pasuk, and we run through this pasuk, little five pasukim, and you know, we get to this kapitel, and some of the ones before it are longer, and you know, oh good, I was assigned Mem Gimel. That's a good one. In pasuk Dalet, we wrap up hundreds of pasukim by telling Hashem exactly what we want. The B'nai Karach are sitting on that ledge, and they're realizing what they did. And Hashem is showing them, with Ruach HaKadosh, what's going to happen to their descendants. And the thought is, it's overwhelming. Right? Imagine knowing that you were part of something that's going to cause all those thousands of years of tzaras. So it's true, you're glad you were saved from Gehenna. But the B'nai Karach also may be a small part, thinking maybe it would have been better to fall in. And to have to see what Klal Yisrael is going through. So they say, you know what we want? We don't want to feel abandoned. We walk around feeling abandoned all the time. We don't want to feel that way. We want to see the Mizbach Hashem. We want to be Simcha Gila, sing on the Kinor, and feel that Elohim is Elokai. Then the final pasuk is Matish Tochi. Why are you feeling down, Nafshi, my nefesh, my soul? Umateh mi alai. And why are you upset because of me? Hochili Elohim, hoped for to Hashem. He owed Odena Yeshua's Panai Velokai. I shall thank him for the salvations, and because he is my God. Now, after having dramatically put forth what it is we want, we don't have that right now. Amir Hashem, tomorrow that pasuk will become true. But right now, how's the person supposed to deal with this? So the natural reaction is say, well, I don't have that. Oh, boy. You know what I have? I have my same old Taurus that I had yesterday. I still have the feeling that Hashem has, you know, I don't see Hashem really turning his attention to my Taurus over here. Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to have a Mizbach. I'd love to have all of that's the people are. Yeah, you know, and everybody goes and they hear a Gvaldika drusha from the Rav. And the Rav ends it by saying, and you know what? And we should have the Geula Shleima b'mheira v'yameinu, and everybody, amen. They go back home like, oh boy. You know, you get like that momentary little lift, then you go back home and the kids forgot to do the dishes, and you realize that, you know, you were supposed to give them $3.50, and you realize that you were supposed to email your boss something, and now it's midnight, and if you email it at midnight, are you going to look like you stay up and work and you're a really dedicated worker, or are you going to look like you're too dumb to have remembered to send it to him earlier? So maybe you should go in early and send it to him, and the whole Geula Shleima b'mheira v'yameinu feeling is completely forgotten. Why are you downcast? And why are you disturbed? Ochili lelukim. You have to hope to Hashem. Why? Because Oda Dena, you're going to thank him for all the salvations, Velokai, because you know what? And here David HaMelech is telling you something that is a tremendous yesite, and that is, we said that after all this Geula comes, Hashem will be Elokai. He'll be my God. Right? I'll be able to feel that. Says David HaMelech, you know what? Velokai, he's your God now. You know, people always would say, when such and such happens, then I'll do such and such. You know, I'm thinking that after the Yomim Tovi, I'm going to start my diet. And after I, you know, once all the kids are out of the house, I'm thinking of doing that. So, lehavdil between that comparison, but it's the same idea. Is that, you know what? Good. Once Hashem gives me the Beis Hamikdash, and I've got the permanent Mizbeah, and everybody's playing on the Kinor, of course, then Hashem will be Elokai. Right? Well, that's like saying you'll start the diet after Yontif. How many of those diets really get started after Yontif? Right? Just to bring it to a little bit more down-home example over here. I myself have that example by the fact that I am one of the most proficient learners of Daf Yomi ever. Because I have learned Daf Yomi thousands of times. I start every other day. how many times have I done Daf Yomi? Probably 3,000. Of course, it lasts like 2 days. Right? But because I say, and then I say to myself, well, you know what? Oh, we're in the middle of a Masechta. It's hard to catch up. As soon as we start a new Masechta, I'll start again. So that's my equivalent of after Yom Tov, I'm going on the diet. Because I don't even kid myself that I'm going on the diet after Yom Tov, because I know that I'm not. So, yeah, but you know what? When we start, then I'll be able to really concentrate, because it'll be a fresh new Masechta. Then I'll really be able to do it. And you know what? Once I finish this particular situation at work, then I'll really be able to turn my attention to learning more. Says David HaMelech, no, it doesn't work that way. Chilul Elokim, you should be hoping to Hashem now, because Hashem is already your Elokai. He oid oidena Yeshua's panai, because I'm going to thank him, and he is going to be my Hashem, so he is my Hashem already. David HaMelech refers to him ma'uzi, strength. Why? Because the whole point of Emunah is knowing what Hashem is going to do for you. So if you know what Hashem is going to do for you, he can be Elokai now. So you know what? Yeah, the Masechta is hard to start in the middle, but it's not going to be any easier tomorrow. He's already Elokai now. Well, it's only because you don't realize it. It's only because you're caught up and waiting for something to happen. But you're going to thank him. He's going to save you, right? So he is your Elokai. What's the big deal? Mazuzi, he's the strength, and he's your Elokai, because he's going to save you. Says David HaMelech. Oh, maybe you're not sure of that, then he's not your Elokai. But one of the things that we've mentioned before countless times is that David HaMelech's goal of Tehillim is to leave us a blueprint of how to be a ruchniistic person. How should a Jew live their life? So David HaMelech hoped during his lifetime to accomplish raising all of the B'nai Yisrael to that level. Whether that was a realistic goal or not is a discussion for another time. But David HaMelech left us the map. And he said, you know what? I'll leave it. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us 5 books of Chumash. David HaMelech gave us the 5 books of Tehillim. And he says, and here's exactly what you should do. This is practical advice. Hochilo Elokim, hope to Hashem. Hashem's going to save you, so use your emunis, Ardi Velokai. It's a hard thing to do, to remember, to think of something as positively going to happen. David HaMelech's accomplishment of being a perfect Baal Emunah was that he never for a moment wavered in his absolute certain knowledge of Hashem's Yeshua. That's a tremendous accomplishment. And how did he do it? He did it by everyday Hochilo Elokim. We had a couple of kapitulach ago, what did David HaMelech tell us? He says, Kavo Kavisi. Hope and hope. Now the Mefarshim jump all over that. It's very redundant. Hope, hope. Right? And we all know David HaMelech did know grammar. And he would not have made such a terrible mistake. What's he saying? Kavo Kavisi. Hope and hope. Means, you know what? It's not enough to hope. You have to again tomorrow hope. Because what you hope for today might not happen. Right? The key to hope is hoping doesn't mean anything unless you're going to keep hoping. That's what David HaMelech is saying. Every day, we have to look at Hashem as Velokai. And if every day we can look at Hashem as Velokai, being my God, then we may really be Zaycha to what he says when he says, I want you to send Orcha v'Amitcha at the same time. I want you to send your light and your truth. I want you to send Mashiach and Eliyahu and Navi at the same time. If we can internalize that Elokai is saving us, he's our God, okay, the technical salvation hasn't happened yet. Technically, Illinois hasn't arrived. But it's a done deal. The contracts have been signed. It's been notarized. It's been sent off to the Cook County Recorder of Deeds. You're just waiting to move into the house. Everything's a done deal. The check is cleared. The old people have their furniture out. And you're waiting to move in. It's a done deal. If you can think of it like that, then, as David HaMelech, we can be Zaycha, that when Mashiach comes, we don't need Eliyahu HaNavi to come and say, you know what? It's your God now. I already know that. So Eliyahu HaNavi can just ride in with Mashiach, and they can come together. So Mirtz Hashem, we should be Zaycha to take away from this capital the idea of making it Elokai all the time, so we can be Zaycha to what that Pasuk is talking about in the Mizbeach Hashem, and that we can be Zaycha that when the Yeshua comes, it'll be Orcha V'Mitcha, and it'll be Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach greeting Klal Yisrael that's ready to be Mekabel. That's what we should take away from this kapitel.